So good to have you tuned in to EWTN Radio. Welcome. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, of course, it is your show, and we look forward to you participating in the conversation today. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani, and the only one missing right now is you, because, as always, we have the show team in place. We have our producer, Michael McCall. Rich Jesse is on the phones today answering screening calls, and Ace McKay is on social media. And, Debbie, it's our we were just talking off the air. It's our last show for the month of May.
I cannot believe it. 2025 is flying by.
It is, yeah.
We're going to have to start doing the countdown to Christmas. You know how that happens towards the summer there. But yes, this is our final day for the show for May. The final time we get to be with each other for the month of Mary for 2025 and St. Joseph. And so this is your opportunity to talk about relationships, okay? Your relationship you have with yourself, with God, with the Blessed Mother, with St. Joseph, with your guardian angel, with your pets, with your spouse, your children, your coworkers, your fellow parishioners, your neighbors. You get the picture. Mm-hmm. Please, this is any relationship issue, anything you want to talk about. If you want to praise and shout to heaven how happy you are about a certain relationship, this is the show to do it. And here's the number, because Rich is standing by, ready to answer your call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, there's an easy way to tell if you're in relationships, and that is to put a mirror in front of your mouth, and if it fogs a little bit, you are breathing, and therefore you are in relationship with someone, at least yourself, or as Debbie said, with God or with family or with friends. It could be any particular relationship. Doesn't have to be anything bad necessarily. It can be, you know, if you're having a difficult time with a particular relationship, we can talk about that. We are both life coaches. Debbie far more of a life coach than I am, and she's been doing it for a long time. So we can talk about relationships that are maybe a little rocky right now, or I love what Debbie said. If you would just like to say, you know what, my marriage is fantastic, or my boss and I get along great, or you know what, I'm really discovering who God is in my life in that relationship, here's the number for you to join us. Get in on that first set of callers at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Okay, I'm going to say it. Don't get started with your weekend yet. Okay, we need your call. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. It's all about relationships. We do it once a month. This is our last show on Take Two for May 2025. Now, we do have the Spirit World tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, where we're diving into the mailbag, and hopefully your question will be answered. And this morning, when I was on the morning show, I was a little ahead of myself. Adam and I were talking about Pentecost, and we were talking about wearing red. And for some reason, I said this Sunday. Folks, this Sunday is Ascension Sunday, and you should wear white to Mass. White. Next Sunday, you wear red for Pentecost, okay? So just wanted to make sure I got that correct, because the same, most of the same listeners for the morning show listen to Take Two, listen to the Spirit World, so that's fantastic. I just wanted to correct it. I think Father would be looking out into his parishioners saying, why is everybody wearing red a week early? So that wouldn't make sense. The other thing too, Jerry, I want to share is today starts the Pentecost Novena. So it's a great time to jump in on more prayers and more blessings when we all pray together. So, yeah, Jerry, just wanted to share that. And we're excited about the show we have today on All About Relationships, because look at those phone lines, Jerry, and we're ready to go to the phones.
All right, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Our friend Mary Beth in Marietta, Ohio, is going to lead off today, listening on St. Paul Radio. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, you guys. How are you?
Doing better now that you called.
Oh, well, thank you. Such a charmer, Jerry, always. that's a good thing. Well, I was going to say, I have tried something new where I just have made a decision. You know, just like we decide to forgive, it's not a feeling. Mm-hmm. I have decided to take the high road. Like, if there's any kind of conflict, I just take ownership as though I was wrong. And I don't have to be wrong to just act like I was. like last night was a perfect example. I got an angry text from a lady who does some cleaning for me, mm-hmm. and it was at 1 a.m. And I, you know, even that hour could be kind of risky of, you know, really spouting how I felt. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, she was cleaning out, emptying out a house that I had rented for our daughter. And it turns out she doesn't need that house. And it had to do with, this will sound funny, but the house, when I walked through it, the tank lid to the toilet was missing. Hmm. And so I was like, what, you know, do you know anything about that? It's just so weird. Everything's perfect in the house, but there's no lid to the potty. And so anyway, she said, I think you're accusing me and all this stuff. And she said, I told you when you were at the hospital, because, you know, I've been battling stage 4 cancer, but she said, I told you that it broke and that I had nothing to do with it. So anyways, no, she didn't tell me because I would have remembered that. So you know what I'm saying? It's just a weird thing. Mm-hmm. So I let it go. I said, you know what? A lot of times I pride myself on my communication. I think I'm the world's best communicator. And that was my degree in college, interpersonal public communication and marketing. And here, this may be a case where I'm just not as good as I think I am. So let's just move on. And I'm so sorry that I made you feel that way. So, mm-hmm. you know, I knew she didn't tell me there was that potty lid was broken. I would have remembered that. But I decided in advance, just take the high road. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a woman has a lot of issues and a lot of problems. I'm blessed at this time that I'm able to manage quite a few of mine. So do you see what I'm saying? It was a decision before the event even happened. So if we kind of decide maybe that, you know, I'm just always going to take the high road, you can't make me fight, you know, that kind of attitude. So it's been a game changer, really.
It is a game changer, Mary Beth. And you know what? We got our first break coming up here in a second. But I want to dive into this just a little bit, you know, time permitting. We don't have a lot of time to go real deep. But I think you're touching on something that is really, really vital. It's crucial to our interpersonal relationships. And that is, like you said, take the high road. Maybe another way to put it would be maybe fall on our sword once in a while, even if it's not our fault. But that can be very, very powerful and efficacious, not only on the human level, but bringing God's grace into certain situations, too. So hang on, Mary Beth. Brian and Bill are on the lines as well. It's our All About Relationship show, 833-288-3986, if you'd like to join the conversation. Talking about relationships today, anyone that you would like to discuss, you don't have to give lots of names and details, but maybe we can help you find a little peace of mind, a little bit of a way ahead, a way forward in a particular relationship that might not be going so well for you, or maybe it is going great and you'd like to share that. Our number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're talking with Mary Beth in Marietta, Ohio. And Debbie, I know you wanted to share a thought or two about you know, what Mary Beth was sharing about taking, you know, she was talking about taking the high road and,
right,
you know, in terms of when there are kind of potential, I guess, conflicts or disagreements between two people.
Right, right. And Mary Beth, I don't want to put words in your mouth or try to expand what you were sharing with us in the example that you gave with the cleaning person, but I want to just share this though. A lot of times when we want to take the high road, it depends on how you look at it. If taking the high road, Mary Beth, means that you're going to let things go, you're not going to bring them up, you know, or fight about things, you know, you kind of pick your battles, and taking the high road, not holding any grudges, you know, then yes, absolutely. The only thing I would just caution everyone listening is that if it's just to avoid conflict or to say I'm sorry, to end whatever is happening, that's not necessarily taking the high road, because we do want to, you know, healthy conflict resolution is very good in a relationship. And also, it allows people to live in truth. You don't want to just, you know, go along to get along and just, you know, not, I'm not saying you're doing that, but I'm just saying, I know that in the life coaching work that I do, we talk a lot about this. Now, maybe it's a matter of semantics of what you're talking about, but I will just say that I love what you had to say about taking the high road. Just the way we go about it, I think we have to really flush it out a bit to make sure it doesn't avoid conflict, and it doesn't cause people to live in their false beliefs. What do you say?
I agree. You're spot on. What the decision that I made in this particular relationship is, the relationship is like over. I'm not going to ever hire her again.
Right.
So
right.
I wanted to leave. Kind of like relationships are like books. Some are short read, some are long, but you should always return that book in great condition.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I made that decision that I'm okay with this. But no, if this was going to be an ongoing relationship, I would say, okay, let's do a timeline. That usually works really good when you're trying mm-hmm. to get to the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So like I could have said, hey, remember it was like at 3 o'clock that I said, please empty this out.
Right.
And at that time I'd seen that there was, you know, nothing wrong with the toilet, which you got to kind of laugh at some of this stuff. Can you imagine going into a house and all of a sudden there's no lid to the
right.
toilet
right.
tank? It was just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is that the principle that you're talking about is the Mother Teresa principle, where when you meet people, when you encounter people, you know, leave them better off, you know, lift them up, you know, boost them up. And that's I think you did do that. And that was really wonderful. And I do love I'm kind of with you, Mary Beth. I'm kind of in the same line of thinking about, you know, kind of picking and choosing what I really want to argue about. And then also really taking the high road in so many ways, because it's not worth it. You know, when we know that in purgatory, a lot of people land themselves in purgatory for a long time because of unforgiveness or for things that have left or unresolved. And it's not worth it. So I like your attitude. I like your outlook. I think it's awesome. It sounds very stress-free. And so that's wonderful. What do you say, Jer?
No, I agree. You got any last thoughts, Mary Beth, before we let you go?
I was going to say, do you guys remember where this came from? The one-liner, but did you die? You know, like, do you remember how everybody used to kind of joke, but did you die?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sometimes we can take a high road, especially if it's going to be a temporary relationship. And mm-hmm. did I die doing that? No. You know, I offered it up. I prayed before I spoke or text. And, you know, it's over with. And, you know, it's still confusing. I guess she broke it. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. There are some, not everything matters. Not everything's a hot potato.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Well, good. Yeah. You got our conversation started for the All About Relationships. It was awesome, Mary Beth. Thank you so much. And don't forget, you're in the prayer book. We're praying constantly for your incredible healing here.
Yeah, please God. Thank you, Mary Beth. All right, Bill and Brian, hang on. I just have to mention a Sacred Heart of Jesus pewter visor clip. You can arm your vehicle. Okay, we use sacramentals. We use things to remind us of our need for God's protection. And when you're out there on the roads, that is certainly an area where we trust our guardian angels and the Holy Spirit to keep us safe. And there are many different styles from which you can select of these visor clips. One beautiful clip is a genuine pewter visor clip featuring a vintage 1940s image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus with the phrase, I will bless every place where a picture of my heart shall be exposed and honored. And that is all around the border of the clip, designed in the shape of a compass. It has a cross due north representing faith, an anchor to the south representing hope, a burning heart to the west representing charity, and IHS to the east representing the holy name of Jesus. And this is an exclusive EWTN design made in the USA by skilled New England craftsmen. It's available now at EWTNRC.com, where you get free standard shipping for orders $75 or more online and in the continental United States. Remember the word checkout and put that in when you finish up your purchase there at EWTNRC.com.
So this is our All About Relationships show for the month of May. You can join the conversation by calling 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you want to make a comment about a relationship, you'd like to add to what any of the other callers had to say, you can. If you don't have time to get on the phone, you can text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your brief question or comment about relationships, and just know that message and data rates may apply. So that's, you text the letters EWTN to 58177. Jerry, the texting has become very popular on Take Two.
It has. We would like to give people as many ways as possible to get a hold of us. And, of course, one of those, as always, is by phone. That's how Bill has joined us from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, listening on Truth Radio. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Take Two.
Yes. Can you? I guess let me turn my truck off. Hang on.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Go right ahead, Bill.
Sure. Yes, okay, thank you. So I didn't have a reason to call in at first because I thought, no, just I don't have any, you know, real issues I want to share. But like most people, I do have issues with most, if not all, my relationships. But I just wanted to add that I am just beginning a study of the virtues, and I feel very confident that that is going to go a long way in helping me in my relationships, because it affects every decision I make, really, from the time I wake up until I go to bed. It's, you know, they say that main saying about the virtues is it's doing the right thing for the right reason in the right mm-hmm. circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward. I've just started reading Dr. Edward Sears' book on virtues. So that's really just my comment. I really think it's going to be helpful. I think it would be helpful for anyone else who is interested in trying that angle.
Well, Bill, I have to tell you, that sounds like a recipe for sainthood, and I'll tell you why. If you look at the lives of the saints, that's what they really focused on, was virtue over vice, right? And really working on the virtues expanding them, and always looking for virtue, always striving for virtue, always having that as a focus. So, Bill, that sounds amazing, and I love that you're taking it on, and I think it's so beautiful that you're sharing it with the Take Two family, because, you know, when we share what we're doing, others are listening and they're absorbing and they're saying, okay, Bill from Tennessee is doing this and he seems happy, he sounds good, maybe I'll do it. And so, Bill, that is a way of evangelizing and helping others, and that's what we want to do here on Take Two. So, Jerry and I just want to thank you so very much, sir.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Be safe out there on the roads. Talking about relationships, if you would like to make a comment like Bill just did, maybe bring a relationship to the conversation. Again, we don't ask you to, you know, go into all of the names and details and everything, because sometimes that can be a little bit sensitive and something you just don't want to really put out there for the whole world to hear. But if you just want to talk generalities about a relationship that you are having that is maybe not quite so good, or maybe it is great right now, either way, go whatever direction you want with this conversation about relationships at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Brian would be next in Owensboro, Kentucky, listening on Savior Radio Network. Brian, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Debbie and Jerry. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoyed the show. And all the EWTN in general is something that I'm very thankful for, because it is a true blessing. My wife and I, we have several kids, and our marriage is fantastic. She would say the same thing, I'm sure. We are blessed to have perpetual adoration at our marriage, so we go once a week, or, you know, for the most part, we are able to go there together. And I feel like that's helped our relationship to flourish and to grow stronger. And I would encourage other couples to do that if they could at all possibly. To pray together is fantastic, but to do it in front of our Lord exposed is the absolute best way to do it, in my opinion. And what I do struggle with is I trust in God. I trust that no matter what happens, he is in control. And but whenever I look at my kids, or my wife and I try to pass on that sentiment. I feel like they look at me like I'm crazy a little bit, even though we are raising them in the Catholic faith and they are believers. They don't have the trust level I do. And I feel like I'm almost icking them out, for better words, on just how trusting I want everybody to be.
So, Brian, let me ask you a couple questions, and I want you to be really, really honest. Okay. Like brutally honest. Do you think you're coming on too strong or maybe too odd for your kids because they aren't, they're not at your, at the faith level that you're at, or do they see something that maybe doesn't add up, meaning, you know, it sounds good. People can preach it, not that you're preaching it, but I'm saying it could be preached at the church, but preach it, but maybe they're not seeing it really being lived. Are they completely seeing it being joyfully lived out?
I have to, I guess, consciously try to make sure that I'm joyful, because being happy and being joyful are two different things, and I think I'm getting better at that as I get older. I don't think they are where I'm at faith-wise, but it's taken me 50 years to get here. So, you know, I don't expect them to be there yet. I feel like they do get that example.
Okay. But Brian, if when you know this, think about it. When somebody has something and they are so excited about what they have, and it just comes out every pore of their being, and they're how about somebody who just bought a brand new, like, I don't know, convertible sports car, and they jump in the car and the hood comes, you know, the roof comes down and it retracts, and they're riding along and their hair is blowing in the wind and they're smiling and they're super happy. Guess what, Brian? Tons of people all of a sudden want to buy a sports car, because they see what that person is living out in such a way that it is just coming out of every part of their being. And my question is, as parents, and I have to face it too, Brian, I raised two boys. There were many times I preached it really well, but I didn't live it. I really did preach it well, I have to say. But my kids were like, this doesn't add up. So I guess I'm not saying you're doing that, but I'm just saying if kids are not receiving it the way you want them to, the first place we need to look at is self. That's what I would say. What do you say, Jerry? Any comments on that? You're in seminary.
That doesn't necessarily mean I have pearls of wisdom. I could offer a thought or two, but Brian, first, what do you think about what Debbie was sharing there, Brian? It'd be good to hear your thoughts.
I agree 100%. There's no doubt that's part of what, and I haven't not been good at that. I realize for years of my life, that's what I'm trying to get better at now. And I guess I'm just going to have to be patient to let them see the effect it's having on me. And,
But
I realize what you're saying.
Yeah, here's one other suggestion. Kids are so good at when parents call a family meeting, and parents will say to kids, hey, you know what? We realized we didn't quite do this right. And this is what we have learned. And here's where we're at today. And here's what we want you to see in us going forward. And you reset, you state it, you move forward. And kids are so good like that. They love stuff like that. Kids are the best at resetting. And I'm excited that you're sharing this today, Brian, because honestly, I think you're helping thousands of souls today, thousands of parents and grandparents. So thank you, sir, for stepping up and representing all of us. What do you say, Jer?
Yeah, very great call, Brian. We're going to have to get to a break here, but I would just say, you know, kids, obviously, they soak up everything from their parents, and that doesn't necessarily stop when they reach, you know, preteen or teenage or young adult or adulthood or whatever. And so, you know, maybe there's, you know, over time they've seen one thing, and now, you know, that you're gonna show them another thing. And the best thing you can do is just matter-of-factly live out that faith, like you said, with great joy. Keep going to adoration. You're doing all the right things with your wife, praying together, making Jesus the center of your marriage. So thank you, Brian. Hope that some of that is helpful for you. We're going to get to Elizabeth and Andrea and the others here on Take Two in just a minute. Stay with us. We're talking all about relationships today, and this is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio for 2 weeks from now, a couple of weeks, June 15th, it'll be the 10-year mark that you have made this show what it is every day. You are the ones who really have the impact on your fellow Take-Two family members, so we are so grateful for you being with us all these nearly 10 years, and especially here today as we discuss relationships at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're going to go back to the phones. Elizabeth is in Dallas listening today on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome.
So thank you for taking my call. Sure. I need help navigating something that's been really heavy, very recent. My dad's best friend was recently booked into jail for something that was very serious, very out of character. Really took my dad, like, out of the blue, and my dad's really shaken. I've been trying to figure out how to support my dad, because I feel like my dad doesn't want to, like, visit him because he thinks he might embarrass his friends. And so I want my dad to be, like, it's probably when he needs you the most right now is, like, when he's in the trenches, and I know that this is, like, shocking and serious, but this is probably the moment he needs you the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we talk about, you know, the things in the church, you know, the things that we can do for other people to support them. And one of those is that we have the corporal works, spiritual and corporal works of mercy. And one of the corporal works of mercy, I believe, is to visit those who are in prison and in jail. And I would just say, you know, his friend probably would appreciate that. I don't know if there might be a little bit of embarrassment. I don't know. I mean, going back about 15 or 20 years, I had a very good friend who was falsely accused of something and ended up actually in a state prison for about 7 years. And I just felt like it was really a duty incumbent upon my heart to visit him and write and, you know, be able to have phone calls and things like that. And it makes all the difference in the world. So without knowing any of the details about your father's friend, you know, how long, you know, where he, what type of jail he's in, what, how long he might be in there and so forth. Now, I'm not asking for those details, but, you know, maybe you want to give your father a little bit of an encouragement to go see him. I mean, it's got to be a very difficult time for his friend, just like it is for your father. Debbie, I don't know if you've got any thoughts you'd like to share on that.
I just completely agree with you. The corporal works of mercy, Elizabeth, are very important, and it's a time for us to rise up and be there when others are most vulnerable, and they are really probably emotionally just really beat up from whatever they're going through, whether it's they deserve to be in there or not. There's just a lot that they go through when somebody is put into jail or prison. Okay, and I would suggest that you give your father some tools to go in to visit his friend if he was a good friend, and they, you know, it's something that is important to him, the friendship. It's important that he shows up and is Christ to him the best he can be, so that maybe this friend will lean on your dad to possibly, you know, do some of the healing work that he needs to do, this person. And so it goes both ways. So your father has a role to play. Yeah, it may be embarrassing. Everything in life can be embarrassing. Anything in life. I mean, it's very easy to be humiliated these days in this world. So that maybe your dad needs to jump over that and go into the role of being Christ to this person and helping him any which way, either dealing with the punishment that he's going to receive, or with the healing, or with the forgiveness, or with whatever this man is going through. What do you say, Elizabeth?
I really appreciate that. Yeah, I think he might be struggling with, like, the practicality of how to be Christ, mm-hmm, to his friend, but I do appreciate everything you said.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what you could do, Elizabeth? Show your dad some videos of John Paul II visiting the prisoners, Pope Francis visiting prisoners. Show your dad pictures of holy men and women of God visiting those that are in jail and in prison. You will be so amazed at how it is definitely a work of mercy that we should all be open to if it ever were to happen to us, where we have a friend or family member or somebody in the neighborhood that this happens to. I think a lot of times people who go to jail, they're forgotten, and that's really, really unfortunate, because that's not how Jesus would look at their souls. What do you say, Elizabeth?
I completely agree. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. Again, you probably helped thousands of souls today. So, yeah,
absolutely. Thank you, Elizabeth, for the call. I just want to kind of tag team on what you were saying there, Debbie. Dear Take Two family, I had this friend who was in prison that I was tried to support as best I could. This past year at the seminary, my pastoral assignment outside the seminary was at a prison. I went on Sunday evenings to minister to the inmates. And not just because of those things, but because of what you said, Debbie, you know, the people who are in jail, in prison, they are often forgotten, even by their family members. It's really very unfortunate sometimes. Mm-hmm. And yet they have they have their own inherent dignity and worth. Mm-hmm. Many have made mistakes. And I'll be very honest with you, many have not made the mistakes they've been accused of. There are a lot of innocent people,
that's right.
I really believe, behind bars. So, you know, maybe, you know, approach your city, your town, your county, your state. See if there's a way that you could write letters to somebody or to a group of prisoners, support them in that way. Be a volunteer. The chaplains are always looking for volunteers to help out. Mm-hmm. And it's very enriching, not just for the inmates, but maybe even more so for you when you do something like that. So.
That's very true. You can call the diocese that you live in and ask to get in touch with the leaders of the prison ministry work, because pretty much every diocese has a group. Yeah. So I agree with you, Jerry. That was well said. By the way, we have to mention this because this is a great feast day today. It's St. Joan of Arc's feast day. Okay, St. Joan of Arc, you guys. All right, amazing saint. And this is the day and that we honor that great saint. So just had to say that. My sister's name is Joan, and I couldn't wait to text her this morning and say happy feast day. So, okay, we're going to go back to the phones. If you still have time to join the conversation, it's all about relationships, but you got to dial in right now. Don't wait any longer. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And we'll go to Andrea in San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. And Andrea, I believe you called earlier this week and you didn't get on the air. So we're so glad that you're with us.
Well, I tried on one of the days.
Yes, you did. And help me out, your first name. How do you pronounce it? I want to make sure I pronounce it correctly. Andrea?
Andrea.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, you go right ahead.
So it's just talking about relationships. And like I said, my husband and I have been, like, you know, kind of trying to resolve this ongoing saga with my in-laws. Really, we got help through the pop check. And just kind of like where it is right now, where we have a counselor. Thankfully, we've been working with a Catholic counselor. But, you know, it's just my husband was advised to write a letter from his counselor. He was advised to write a letter to his parents because it's just, you know, we've tried to be charitable to them. We've tried to reach out to them, apologize for things that aren't really our fault. And they just seem to be in, like, I was telling your call screener, I don't want to say set in their ways, but just very resistant to want to walk with us in this journey that we've chosen, you know, as far as to live and be a Catholic family. Just to kind of give you an update, about a year ago, I actually called both of you, and my husband and I were going through some, like, we were like knee deep in some real problems. Mm-hmm. And we had both lost our jobs at the same time. He had gotten a job. I was like so frustrated. I wasn't able to get a job. I was kind of resenting him for it. And I wanted to give you an update. I've been at my job going on 2 years now. I love it.
Nice.
I love my boss. I love the company. I'm actually about to step into a new role next week by training people at my new job. So I'm going to have a class of people that I'm training.
Wow.
But it's just everything's turned around. My husband actually became Catholic. And that's kind of where the contention with my in-laws started, that he became Catholic. Mm-hmm. And they were just like so blindsided. They felt so blindsided. You know, they were like, you should have told us. You know, we could have talked to you about it. And, you know, my husband was like, talk to me about what? Like, I made my decision, you know. And so, you know, they just felt very betrayed. Mm-hmm. And And it's really bad because we did actually see them in person, and they absolutely rejected my children. Ooh. And I just felt so heartbroken for my children. Mm-hmm. Because they really were so confused. They did not know what to do. Even my oldest daughter was mm-hmm. asking my husband, like, "Dad, are your parents dead? Like, are they gone?" You know, I was like, "Oh man, like, oh, how am I gonna explain this to them?" I'm like, mm-hmm. "Oh my goodness," and just, you know, we've been trying to really make this relationship right, but we've done everything on our side. And you know, since he was instructed to write this letter, I noticed that he's procrastinating. And it's kind of like a status quo between him and I. We talk about it. We don't really, like, go deep into it. Because when mm-hmm. we do, he becomes very emotionally exhausted. And he's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I'm going to go to bed. I don't want to talk about this, you know. Or he tells me, like, well, you pick the worst times of the day to talk about, you know. And it's just like, what, but, you know, we need to talk about this because normally this is the time of the year where we start planning for Christmas to go yeah. see them because they're out of state. They're in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of like, well, you know, I had kind of asked him as a, you know, just kind of like talking okay. to him. I had just kind of talked to him and I asked him, I said, well, what are we going to do? You know, like, what are we going to do for Christmas? Because, you know, like, we got to start planning now. And he's like, well, that's even if we go out of town for Christmas. I was like, okay, well, so we're not going? Like, I'm... Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm like, okay, so what's happening now? You know, and he's just very on the fence about everything. And so it's just like, so I don't even know how, like, basically, you know, right. it's not like we're fighting about this, but we're just in
there's
like
tension.
Limbo.
Yeah, yeah, and there's probably tension.
Kind of like some pseudo tension.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So the counselor instructed him to send a letter, and he hasn't sent it yet? Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry.
Did he send the letter yet to his parents yet or no?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't okay. even like thought about it. He hasn't even like sat down to go, dear mom and dad, like, you know, okay. like, you know, things have happened between us. Nothing, not even one line of this letter. And so I'm just kind of like, he's procrastinating and it's almost like we don't talk about it. We kind of sweep it under the rug, but it's still there. It's yeah. not like it's like causing like this rift between us.
Sure.
But I
sure.
noticed that he's like somewhere else on like,
I get
some
it.
Days.
I get it. Yeah.
He'll be
well,
somewhere
well,
else. And I'll be like, what's
well,
going on?
But think about it for a second. You know, if he sends this letter, he's not certain of how they're going to react. So, you know, it can be really hard on an adult child. We don't want to be, you know, lose our parents or be cut off by our parents, especially if we don't want that. And we don't, you know, so it can be devastating. It's emotionally can really hit adult children very hard. So if the bottom line is that they have a problem with you guys being Catholic, well, you know, that's really quite simple. You just, you get together because your parents and children and grandchildren, and you get together and you focus on family. Okay. And everybody lives out their faith life, how, you know, however they see fit. You just keep that off the table for now and just get together as a family. If there's more to it with relationships, or if there's something about, you know, the fact that maybe, they're not, I don't know if they're crazy about what's going on in your life and in your family. Well, that those are other issues. But I would, if it were me, I would go for going back to Mary Beth's call. Take the high road, and just focus on the fact that they are your husband's parents, and you're going to love them for where they're at. And because it's going to be better off for everyone. We're not going to fix people as people get older. It doesn't happen. People get set in their ways. They have their thoughts. People have to come to their own understanding of where they're at, self-discovery and things like that, in order for them to grow and advance. It's just the oddest thing in families. I have learned over the past, about 5 or 6 years, right before the pandemic and then afterwards, that it's just better to try and keep the family relationship going. It may not be perfect. It may not always feel right. It may even feel toxic at times. But if it's not gonna hurt you or damage you or traumatize you, then just keep it going for the sake of the fact that they are the parents. You guys are the adult children. You have kids. They're the grandparents. And see if you can work from that angle. That would be my advice. But go with your counselor. But I'm just saying, I can understand where your husband would be very uncomfortable with possibly sending the letter. Maybe because he's not ready to deal with the results of it yet. What do you say?
Well, I mean, we wanted to try and do that. It's just that and just kind of add another layer. They had told me that, you know, my mother-in-law's written me off. And, you know, my husband was like, well, you're not going to do that, because if you reject my wife, then you reject me and my children. And I'm not going to allow that, you know, because mm-hmm. I love my wife and the family that I've created. And I get that, you know. And, you know, I know even Dr. Popchek said, you know, if they're going to continue to be ugly like that, then you're kind of better off without them, you know. And I noticed that it's definitely like striking just an awful chord with mm-hmm, my husband mm-hmm. to have to accept that reality.
Well, yeah.
You know, yes, I know that time has passed, because mm-hmm. we haven't had one conversation with them in almost a year now. Like Father's Day was the last conversation we had with them.
Right.
And that's coming up soon.
Well,
a year ago almost.
Yeah, but real quickly, Dr. Popchek is, I think he's spot on in the sense that if they're going to be really mean, it's hard to deal with that. However, I think there's a way you can just say to them, listen, here's the deal. We're family. We love you. Well, you'll always be our parents. If you don't accept us, well, that's your deal. We're going to always love you. And even if we have to love you from a distance, we will do that. But we're going to always love you and honor you as parents. And maybe someday you'll honor us as your children and grandchildren. But maybe take it from that angle and just kind of, love them from a distance. But I'm always, I'm very much, against completely severing, because I think it's so much harder to come back. So I think there's a way you can shelve it and still love from a distance. Do you think maybe you could try to do that and maybe introduce that to your husband?
I'll let him listen to the podcast, because I think that's a great...
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I do a lot of family with estrangements and parental alienation and all sorts of problems with broken families. So I do a lot with that on a regular basis, and I've seen it all. Believe me, I've seen so much. I could write books and books on it. But I will tell you that I do think that this is a possibility that is very doable right in this period of their lives. What do you say, Jer?
Well, I would say what you shared is actually very, very good. And maybe one thing to keep in mind, too, is that, you know, Jesus talks about in Scripture, it's very sad. It's unfortunate when families are divided. But he even talks about, you know, children being divided against their parents. He even says in one of the accounts, I think it's maybe Matthew's account, you know, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. You know, I've mm-hmm. not come to bring mm-hmm. peace, but a sword. So I mean, even our Savior said, you know, he gave us a heads up.
Yeah,
that
you're going
like
to have problems. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not always going to be, a perfect situation. But we'll definitely be praying for this and mm-hmm. For anybody in similar situations, because family is so important. Satan wants nothing more than to break up and divide all sorts of family relationships, and so we've got to fight against that as best we can, and the way to do that is starting on our knees. So we will definitely mm-hmm. keep that in prayer. And I want to make sure that people know, Debbie, that they can get a free consultation with you at standtalltoday.com if there's any relationships or anything going on in anyone's life that you want to maybe a little bit of life coaching for. It's either Debbie or any one of the other mm-hmm. life coaches. So just they can log on to standtalltoday.com and get a free consultation anytime they would like. So
thank you for saying that. Open Line Friday is this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, hosted by EWTN's Vice President of Theology, Mr. Colin Donovan. And he is brilliant. I'm just saying. So everybody needs to tune in. Okay, Lori's up next, waiting so patiently in Denver, Colorado on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lori. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I am calling because I have, I'm the health care prayer attorney for my father. I have two younger brothers. One of them is a very strong personality, and he did not agree with the decision I was making about my dad. And he just went off on me on the phone to the point where I know I can't interrupt him, so I just put the phone down. It came back periodically, still yelling. And then, you know, he concluded with a real short, love you, and then hung up. And I thought, you know, okay, here we go again, because it's not the first time it's happened. And even on his birthday, I just sent him a text. My husband called him. But 2 days later, so like 3 days after this encounter, he called and apologized and told me everything that was going on in his life and sorry that he took it out on me. And I just can't overemphasize the power of an apology. So pretty much that's all I know I'm recounting the what happened, but I'm recounting it with a happy heart that he apologized. So I just want to remember that for myself, that I need to make sure that I apologize when I need to, leading into confession. But just wanted to share that story.
Good. Yeah.
Go ahead, Deb.
I was just going to say, I think you handled it beautifully. You calmed down a potentially, you know, possible real bad situation, because he was yelling. He's probably, you know, he could have said a lot of things that could have really hurt you, and you put the phone down. I love how you did that. You let him just vent. You went back. And so, Lori, that just goes to show you are such in a good place. I believe spiritually, because when somebody can do that, you have to be in a pretty solid place and space spiritually. So way to go.
Well, thank you, friends. I appreciate you listening.
Oh, yeah. Well, we appreciate you calling. Thank you. Appreciate that. Lori from Denver. Yeah. You know, going back, you know, to the start of the show, we talked about when an apology might not be, you know, necessary or the best thing for us to do. But Debbie, there are obviously situations, and this is one of them where, you know, an apology can go so far. In fact, I've made a note, an email to myself we need to do a show on apologies and their worth and how they maybe made a situation better or worse.
Right. And the other thing, too, I just want to say, because you were so kind, Jerry, to mention Stantall, but we mentioned how great the pop checks are. And I just want to let everyone know that they have a wonderful organization to take care of folks who are really in need of relationship situations. And that's CatholicCounselors.com. The pop checks and their whole group do a fabulous job. I mean, we speak with a lot of their clients and they listen to Take Two and they're so pleased with the outcome that the pop checks can provide. So keep that in mind. There's lots of resources, and you may even have resources right in your own diocese. So check your own diocese as well. We do have time, Jerry, to get to Beverly in Richmond Hill, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Beverly. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning or afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I go to a Catholic church in St. Anne's, Richmond Hill, Georgia, and I've been going there since 1994. And we've had several priests, and our recent priest is from Poland. We've had him 3 years. He is amazing. He has brought so much to the souls of so many in our church family that when we have the different sacraments and adorations that we've never had before. We've had 600 people show up for confession during our confessional with 5 other priests during Advent and Lent. Never have I seen that before in our parish. I've taught there 17 years, and I've learned things from this young priest who lived in Poland at the end of communism, and I want to praise and thank God for this priest. My husband died of ALS 3 years ago. I talked to you. Last year, I had 4-stage breast cancer, and I had facial cancer this year. And he has helped me tremendously to accept and offer to God all the pain and sorrows. And yet, I'm at the point in my life where I love God, I love my family, I've learned to forgive. There's nothing more that, you know, I can ask for.
Yeah. Beverly, you are absolutely spot on. We need to be so grateful for our priests. They are very human, just like the rest of us. And, you know, sometimes they're going to really have a deep, intimate relationship with God, and they're going to be following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And like you said, implementing, like you said, certain things in your parish and the penance service that you had and the 600 people that came there. This is just I think that'd be a great note to end this episode of the show on. We all want to try to have that kind of relationship with our pastor and with our priests. Pray for them, folks, please. Thank you, Beverly, for ending this great conversation with that note right there. Okay, I want to ask everybody if you would pray for me and for all of the seminarians here at the Institute for Priestly Formation in Omaha, Nebraska. We are entering into an 8-day silent retreat. I'm going dark, no technology, no social media, no gadgets for a week. I'll let you know how that goes afterwards. But please say a prayer for us, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely, Jerry. You be assured of our prayers. Monday's show, Whom or What Are You Praying For? Don't forget to tune in to The Spirit World tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Mailbag May edition. And we always say this, now you can get started with your weekend. Have a beautiful and blessed Ascension weekend. We'll see you real soon.